grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic, one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You be seated. Three of you, Trinity.
This reading is a reading from Isaiah. In the year that King Hosea died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice
of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The
voice of the Lord bursts forth and lightning flashes.
The voice
of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, "Glory!" O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace.
Glory to God.
The second reading is a reading from Romans. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be unto God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished, I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you would not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
I hear that if you drive a motorcycle fast enough, you'll start to lose your peripheral vision. It starts to look like you're looking like through a long, dark tunnel. Have you ever had tunnel vision? Where there was darkness surrounding everything except the light at the end of the tunnel? Sometimes down the road of life we get this tunnel vision, where you can't really see anything except the goal or that light at the end of the tunnel. If you don't know this already, I have a hard time hiding what's going on in my head. In fact, the week before I proposed to my wife, Enrique, I was a mess. Actually, this was also the week before finals when I was in college. And so I was able to blame this stress I was feeling on needing to study. I suggested to Enrique that we take a break from studying, well, that I would take a break from studying, and that we should have a picnic together. She could tell that I was just nervous. But again, you know, finals, it was a good cover. I had this tunnel vision. Everything was dark around me except for the answer that I wanted to know. I wanted to know if Enrique would marry me, and I couldn't really see anything else until she gave me that answer. Luckily, she said yes. We celebrated 9 years of marriage this last week. Some of you may also know that I have a little tunnel vision today. I should be receiving a phone call in about an hour, whether I'll be called to serve in as associate pastor. Yes, tunnel visions happen when there are unknowns in a person's life. So one of the times you've had tunnel vision, where you couldn't see anything except that thing at the end of the tunnel that was taking all of your focus. And sometimes when you get this answer that you're looking for, when you reach the end of a tunnel, it's amazing. You reach the end of a tunnel and it opens a whole new world of possibility. Imagine going through this dark tunnel, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and when you reach that light, it's opening like the Grand Canyon or the beach. The sense of awe and wonder takes your breath away. There's a little awe and wonder and fear at this beautiful sight. Maybe Nicodemus, in today's gospel reading, had tunnel vision. He went to Jesus at night. There was darkness surrounding him. Jesus was the light at the end of Nicodemus's tunnel. Here's what Nicodemus said. "We know that you are a teacher who comes from God." And isn't that the point of John's gospel, knowing that Jesus does come from God? Nicodemus was still working within his own paradigm, though. He saw Jesus as a divine prophet who could do miraculous things. But the light at the end of the tunnel was more than Nicodemus had expected. He didn't know that Jesus was the divine Logos, the Word of God incarnate, the second person of the Trinity. He knew that Jesus comes from God, and that's all. And Jesus upsets the category that Nicodemus placed him in. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, tried and true. And Jesus begins to talk about the need to be born of water and the Spirit, as if being born a Jew was not the way into God's kingdom. Nicodemus' hereditary claim to his spiritual standings are of no use. Jesus shows the light to Nicodemus, but it's so bright that Nicodemus does not understand it. All of his training as a Pharisee does not prepare him for being born of the water and Spirit, because he can't. His training can't prepare him. It has to be done to him by the Spirit. And that cannot be his own choosing. We can't help but be acted on by God, just as we can't help but feeling the wind when it blows. It has to come from the outside. Although Nicodemus was in darkness and saw Jesus to be the light, he couldn't be prepared to understand it. Have you ever passed out, fainted? I knew a guy once who passed out in driver's education. He said that suddenly the room got darker, his peripheral vision, and it slowly got darker and darker until there was just this little light, and then that was gone too. He said it was like the fading of a Roadrunner cartoon, for those of you who could remember that. And when he woke up, he said it was like he had never seen before. Everything was so bright around him, he had to shut his eyes again. It didn't help that another student was shining a pen light. What was she thinking? Sometimes the light that we encounter is just overwhelming, and Nicodemus couldn't understand the light that was surrounding him. He was encountering truth and God, and this was just so overwhelming he couldn't comprehend it. The light at the end of the tunnel proved to be too overwhelming for him to comprehend. Sometimes love, especially the love of God, is hard to comprehend. But the message is clear. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. God loves the world so much that he sent his Son in the world to save it, not condemn it. The mission of Jesus is to bring light to all people. It's to bring salvation to all those who would believe in him. It's hard to imagine that God loves us that much. There are many conceptions people have of God, as God is this cosmic rule keeper. God is about checks and balances. God will smite you if you do something wrong. But that's not what we read today. No, God is love. It's not wanting to condemn, but constantly wooing us into relationship with God's self. Like Nicodemus, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, is not content in trying to have us put him in a box. He's interested in reframing our categories, having us see the light. If Nicodemus did have tunnel vision, then God's love for him and the world embodied in Jesus is that light at the end of the tunnel. Today we celebrate the Trinity. I know that trying to understand the Trinity is akin for some from drinking from a fire hose. Or maybe some is like not being able to see for a few seconds. after the light goes on in a dark room. You just don't fully understand what's going on. I know I have to confess I don't all the time. There's a lot of complexity in trying to understand the Trinity. And as Pastor Marone says, and I'll probably continually saying this as long as I'm a pastor, you don't talk about the Trinity too long before you fall into some sort of heresy. Thanks, Pastor. But I think if we keep all this in mind, then we can talk about the Trinity for a while without needing to fully comprehend the divine mystery. This is what our Athanasian Creed says. The Catholic faith, this is the Catholic faith, that we worship one God in Trinity, and in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. There are two things that I want to say about the Trinity that has to do about the gospel reading for today. The first is that the doctrine of the Trinity was developed to interpret the love of God for us. Remember John 3:16 that says, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. There's also a passage about the wind blowing. The word for spirit is the same word for wind. This passage can be interpreted as the Spirit blowing where it wills. So the Father, Son, and Spirit are all referenced in today's gospel reading. And the Trinity's presence is because of God's love for us. The early church had to account some way for their experience of the Lordship of Christ. Their experience of the Holy Spirit's presence among them. And yet they also had to hold fast to monotheism. There is only one God. Each of these understandings is referenced in our scripture that we read regularly. So as one theologian put it, the Trinity actually protects the witness of Scripture. But if we look at it through the lens of God's love for us, it makes a little more sense. God loved the world, so he sent his Son to save us. And the Spirit is present among us, three persons, one God. That's reason to celebrate and give thanks to God. Why I love that we celebrate Trinity Sunday is because it continually shows us that God loves us and is with us. It shows that Jesus, the true God, is with us in the tunnel of life, leading us to God the Father. And that the only light that is his presence is waiting for us because of love and grace. And God wants to be in relationship with us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, remember that the Father sent the Son because of love. Remember that the Spirit is amongst us because of love, and that these three persons are one God for us. Amen.